From Moscow with love, this is Vasily and Natalie on The Voice of Russia. Online, on digital, AM, FM, and shortwave via WRMI. Hello, world, and welcome to the show.
Wow, you're pretty hyped up today, Voss. Care to explain?
Well, there's so much happening in my life nowadays, I don't even know where to start. Let's see. My repeated attempt to get a parking permit near my house was rejected again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. By the way, Natasha, I'm going to ask you to help me forge some documents and signatures, please.
Sure, boss. Anything to make you happy. I was once almost expelled from college for forging a sick leave.
I'm sure that was not the only reason. If you guys are not familiar with my parking permit problems, yeah, that sounds good. Download our previous shows, please. You can find them all at en.ria.ru/radio. That's en.ria.ru/radio.
It can't be all that bad, Voss.
What?
There's got to be a silver lining somewhere.
You're right. You're right. You know, ever since our street became a pay parking zone, it's become quiet, empty, clean.
I know, but where do you keep your car?
In the little front yard parking area in front of my apartment building. Now, according to the new laws, you can park in your courtyard free of charge, which led to a massive pileup of cars and scratch marks on bumpers and doors, and that's fine. Nobody cares. Normally, our front yard can accommodate about 15 cars. Now, there are about 1,000 cars, including my own vehicle. Natasha, I've stopped using it because I'm afraid I'll drive home from wherever it is I'm coming from and won't find a parking spot in the front yard. I'm going insane. I'm going bananas.
Relax, relax, boss. You're way too stressed out. Try to look at it spiritually. As if your problems were nothing more than...
Speaking of things spiritual, now... There's a church across the street from my apartment building, a very nice old Russian Orthodox church with regular services and a little store where one can purchase all sorts of things from candles to bread and honey. Anyway, on the street next to it, there's a road sign which says, "Parking is free," meaning for people who come to worship, pray, or simply buy something at the store. Well, guess what, Natasha? That side of the street is full of Maseratis, Hummers, Mercs, and other luxury cars 24 hours a day. These are people that are not attending church. They are simply avoiding parking payments. Very spiritual, Natasha. Very Russian Orthodox.
But these people have nothing to do with religion or God. They're totally shameless and unscrupulous. Just ignore them.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I'll keep you posted on developments, if there are any.
Anything else exciting happening in your world?
Dysfunctional world, my lady. Yes. In line with the new law recently adopted, I went to the local immigration office to file my dual citizenship.
Ooh.
Yeah. The new amendments to the immigration law signed by President Putin in June came into force. Now, all Russian nationals who have a second citizenship must report it to the authorities. Those who fail to meet the deadline or submit incorrect information can be slapped with a fine ranging from 500 to 1,000 rubles, but the intent of concealing a second citizenship can lead to criminal charges.
So how did it go?
You want detail?
Huh?
It all started with a call to my local immigration office. First, for about an hour, nobody picked up the phone. When they finally answered it, I said my usual cheerful, "Hello," and waited for a response. And there was silence. I tried again. "Hello?" Nothing. Last attempt to make contact resulted in the guy on the other end replying,
"Yeah, what?"
So friendly.
I inquired about the list of paperwork and documents I needed to bring and was told to bring a notarized translation of my American passport.
Right.
Okay, no problem. It cost me about $100 to have several lines from my passport translated. Next, I downloaded a form which I'm, you know, you're supposed to fill out. Mm-hmm. I made copies of my two passports and went to the immigration office. I arrived 30 minutes before opening, anticipating a big line, and I was right. There were people of all nationalities standing in front of room number 3, where only one employee was to take care of all the inquiries, requests, and immigration matters. We were standing in front of a closed door on a stairwell of an old house, probably built in the late 19th century. At one point, Natasha, I felt like an illegal immigrant myself. Okay, my turn finally came up, and I entered the room. Behind the desk, surrounded by heaps of folders and paperwork, sat a very stern-looking woman in her late 40s.
Oh, I know this type.
All my attempts to charm her with my killer smile failed. She looked at my application form and made me rewrite it again and again 3 times. Without getting into details, let me just say that there are little things in these forms that you have to notice to avoid what I had to go through. When she was finally satisfied with my form, she looked at my Russian passport photo and asked, "Did you ever work on TV?" "Yes, I did, ma'am." "I thought you looked familiar." I couldn't believe it, Natasha, but she actually smiled for about 2 seconds.
Unbelievable.
That's it. That's the whole story. Not a very pleasant day, but hey, we can't complain, can we?
No.
So, now, the Russian state has been officially notified by yours truly of my dual citizenship.
Well, as if it didn't know already.
Exactly. But hey, what can you do? You know, I'm a law-abiding citizen of 2 great countries. I'm just glad I got it out of the way. Right. What about you? What's the latest from Planet Natasha?
Well, I was writing to the VOR today and remembered your story about the guy who fell out of the commuter train. You know why I remembered it? Our people are incorrigible. When did the law, which forbids drinking alcoholic beverages in public places, come into force? Do you remember?
Oh, sorry. January 1st, 2014?
Right.
Okay.
But every time I enter a train, there is a beer puddle, either under a seat or in the gangway.
Ew.
To be quite frank, I had forgotten all about that law, so I didn't pay any attention to the young man who sat opposite me with a bottle of beer in his hand. The bottle was open, but the cap was replaced, and the guy wasn't drinking it.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, 2 policemen entered the car, approached us, asked the young man to show his passport, and reminded him of the law. The guy said he wasn't drinking, but was just holding the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
The policeman very politely told him they hoped on the way back he would have no open beer bottle in his hand,
right,
if he didn't want to be in trouble.
Uh-huh.
When they were gone, the young man lamented about the new regulations and said he was especially upset that as of next year, people would be able to smoke only in their own apartments. Well, I couldn't feel sorry for him. I'll tell you frankly, I don't smoke or drink beer, especially in public places, so the new law suits me perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, Vasily, you will have nothing against it either.
Yeah, well, hold on a sec. Here it comes! Breaking news! I'm Vasily Strelnikov at the VR World News Headquarters. In Petrozavodsk, a 39-year-old woman died after biting a policeman. The woman and her male friend, both heavily intoxicated, were walking down the street when police approached them. According to the Itar TASS news agency, the two started arguing with the police and the woman bit one of them and dropped dead. Investigators are uncertain what caused the woman's death and have to determine whether it was cardiac arrest or the police officer's blood, which is incompatible with alcohol. I'm Vasily Strelnikov, and this has been Breaking News. Reminds me of the poor Russian mosquito that bit me in the 90s and ended up in rehab.
This is from Moscow with Love, from the Voice of Russia.
Ah, by the way, speaking of alcohol, Natasha, did you know that in 1914, a decree by the Tsar banned the manufacture and sale of alcohol in Russia? It was meant to last throughout mobilization during Russia's entry into World War I, but was extended for the entire duration of fighting. When the Bolsheviks came to power, they decided to keep it after the 1917 revolution, so altogether, prohibition in Russia lasted 11 years. Statistically, Russians were not particularly heavy drinkers.
Huh.
Well, listen to this. France consumed 5 times as much alcohol as Russia. Italy, 3 times as much. But those Russians who did drink mostly drank vodka, and in great quantities.
Right.
Right after Prohibition, statistics showed there was a dramatic drop in crime, mental hospitals had hardly any patients left, and village life was miraculously transformed.
You don't say.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, there were negative effects, too. The main being a rise in the production of moonshine, which was made from almost everything, including sawdust, shreds, and fodder feed.
My favorite.
I'm not going to comment. Did you know there were riots in 1914 where over 200 former bars across Russia were destroyed, smashed, as people demanded vodka? In some of these incidents, police had to open fire on the rioters. During the revolution, booze riots became regular. The Bolsheviks had to destroy the Winter Palace's entire wine cellar supply to prevent it from being seized by soldiers.
That's a shame.
Who would have consumed it? As the Russian saying goes, as camels in a desert.
Exactly.
Since vodka factories had to be closed, over 300,000 people lost their jobs, and the government had to pay them compensation from the budget. The Soviet authorities abolished Prohibition in 1925 as they needed money to modernize the country's economy. It is said that when distilleries were reopened, the comrades wept with joy, hugging and kissing each other. And now, when you look at history, you can't but notice a striking similarity with the anti-alcohol campaign launched by Mikhail Gorbachev in the second half of the 1980s. I remember how we used to sneak alcohol into the Radio Moscow Hotel, which was declared a booze-free resort. We would hide bottles of cognac in our baggy, new-wave-style trousers, go to the bar, order teapots, empty the contents into nearby potted plants, pour the booze into the teapots, and 15 minutes later, we will be hammered.
But that's exactly what people in the United States used to do in bars and restaurants during Prohibition. Drink moonshine out of teapots. Frankly, I don't believe in Prohibition, and Gorbachev's campaign destroyed lots of precious vineyards in Georgia, Moldavia, and the Crimea.
Also, as you can well imagine, vodka that was sold in the few stores generated mile-long lines or queues in the friendly neighborhood liquor store here on Pyatnitskaya Street. Let's say if it was a Friday and we were all set on partying, we would take turns in standing in line. I would stand during my lunch break from 2 to 3 p.m. to be replaced by a buddy of mine from the Polish service of Radio Moscow, who would stand there from 3 to 4. Meanwhile, another friend from the Chinese department would relieve our Polish comrade, only to be replaced by a colleague from the German section, and so on and so forth. The moral of the story?
There's a moral.
The moral of the story is Radio Moscow was once an international broadcasting giant with over 70 languages until everything exploded.
This is From Moscow with Love from the Voice of Russia. It's time for our brand new segment about the catchphrases our Russian parents used to tell us in order to persuade us into doing this or that, or simply to drive a point home. And so we present quotes from our parents.
The first one today was usually heard around a dinner table and went something like this. За маму, за папу.
Eat for mom, eat for dad. One for mom, one for dad. One for granny, one for grandpa.
Yeah.
And for all other relatives and friends. The words follow every spoonful of some very nourishing and vitally important but probably revolting porridge.
Yeah.
That is stuffed into the mouth of a very young kid who just refuses to eat it.
Here's one.
Не чавкай.
Stop munching. An attempt to teach a kid good manners and eat silently without making any noise, chewing or swallowing.
Не грызи ногти.
Don't bite your nails. Somehow I remember that most of my age mates, myself included, used to bite their nails. I don't know why.
This is from Moscow with love on The Voice of Russia. We're right in the midst of our segment, Quotes from Our Parents, catchphrases our Russian parents used to tell us in order to persuade us into doing this or that or whatever. And let's see, we stopped
at... We are discussing...
Bite your nails?
Mm-hmm, the problem of nail biting. And
yeah.
I just mentioned that most of my age mates used to bite their nails, mm-hmm. me included.
You know what? It's disgusting.
It is. Now I understand it.
I used to bite my nails. But
I know that.
How do you know that?
Well, it's enough to see you, look at you.
Well, thank you, darling. You know how I stopped and why I stopped?
No.
Once at school, I put a piece of my chewed off nail under a microscope at our biology class and saw something really nasty, man. Really nasty.
Well, I'll tell you what. I remember myself at the age of 2 sitting in my cot and zealously biting my toenails.
Oh.
I remember it hurt, but I told myself, I must finish this one.
This is disgusting. You know, an image of that has just burned itself into my brain.
Was so nice and plump.
And I'm going to be sick.
A baby of 2.
Thank you, Natasha. How can you remember yourself at the age of 2?
I do. Folks, I'm very curious. From what age do you remember yourself? I bet I'm not the only one who remembers her babyhood.
You know, we asked around on Facebook, and Rick Koshko says, age of 2, I remember going to sleep and waking up in a crib.
Uh-huh.
I also remember being potty trained.
Good.
It didn't make sense to me, writes Rick, that I had to get used to a new way of taking care of that business when the old way had always been okay before. At the risk of giving too much information, I'll let you know that things were eventually resolved in favor of the new way. You'd be surprised.
I hope so.
You'd be surprised, Rick. Thanks for the info. Now, Stokes Schwartz tells us it's about 2 years old. He was 2 years old, yeah.
You see?
From the time we were living in Barcelona and my mother used to take me to the beach on chilly winter days. And David Derbyshire writes, lots of clear memories from 4 and up. One or two fuzzy memories prior to that, but nothing that clear.
See, I told you.
Well, I don't remember the 90s.
I'm not surprised.
Anyway, back to our segment. The next catchphrase is «Сколько раз тебе повторять?»
How many times should I repeat that? Pronounced very loudly when the kid turns a deaf ear to his parents' remark.
Oh, I remember this one coming from my mom. «Ты встанешь или нет?»
Will you get up or not? A rhetorical question. Coming from mom's room every morning at 7 o'clock, I had to get up at 7 o'clock to go to college, and that was the middle of the night for me.
Well, around here, it is the middle of the night during winter. Pitch dark, freezing cold.
Exactly. It was torture.
How about this one? «Книгу в руки не берет».
Wouldn't take a book in her hands, mm-hmm. meaning never opens a school book. Sounded very funny in my case. Always sent me laughing as I was a bookworm and never actually parted with books.
Oh, this one is so bizarre. I love it. Demonstrates the Russian language in all its might and glory. Listen to this. «Возьми глаза в руки».
Take your eyes, or probably eyeballs, in your hands. It's a gem of mom's mm-hmm. quotes. Every time she asked me to fetch her something and I couldn't find it, she would say, «Take your eyes in your hands».
And finally, «Делай, что хочешь».
Do as you wish,
yeah.
pronounced morosely,
yeah.
and meaning, «I won't move my finger to help you when you get into trouble. And you are going to get into trouble, you stubborn, stupid idiot!» When the child is hopelessly unruly and is too old to be spanked and the parent is at the end of his tether. I'm notorious for this remarkable uttering, too, as well as the following, «When will you grow out of your knickerbockers?» addressed to my eldest son, which is usually retorted with, «Leave my knickerbockers alone!»
Ah, gem. Here's a letter from Misty K in Bloomfield, Indiana, USA. Hi, Misty. You write, Dear Vasily and Natalie, I've been listening over the past few weeks to your new segment on things your parents used to say to you when you were kids. You had asked your listeners to send in similar sayings that their parents used to use on them. So here's mine from my mother. Good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. Now, when I was young and my mother was tucking me in at night, she used to say this right before she gave me that goodnight kiss and turn out the light. Bed bugs? Last time I checked, we were all very clean people who lived in a very clean house. As far as I know, neither they nor I ever lived in New York City. Bed bugs? Honestly, I have no idea where the saying originates, but I gather it is actually rather common. Interestingly, the fact that my parents were warning me to beware of biting bed bugs never bothered me in the slightest. I guess I just thought it was something all parents said to their children before they left them for the night. Now, I'm wondering, were there any strange ritualistic things your parents ever said to you when they used to tuck you in for the night? Wonderful letter, Misty. Thanks so much. Natasha?
I used to say something similar to my kids when I tucked them in. Nighty-night, sleep tight, sweet dreams. Sometimes I added, wake up bright in the morning light.
I don't really recall my mom or dad saying anything like that or what you guys mentioned, but...
We have nothing like that in Russian.
Yeah, I guess it was just, in our case, it was just customary to wish each other a very good night and to have that one final kiss of the day from mom and dad.
More quotes from our parents next week.
This is from Moscow with love from the Voice of Russia. Last Friday night was pirate radio night for me as I got into the old truck and headed out of town to the dacha for some important DX and shortwave listening. Took out the old Kenwood R5000, set it up, switched it on, and after 10 years in storage, it works like a charm. Wei Wang, Claudio Ham DX, and Brett Dawn know what I'm talking about. Check out the video on our Facebook fan site. I had a great night and following day. Conditions here were excellent. All was wonderful, except for the guests that arrived unannounced and knocked on my door.
Oh, we love to entertain guests at our dacha. Now, who are your guests? A girlfriend?
I don't know. I didn't open the door.
Why?
I was busy DXing. Besides, apart from some white wine and a ham and cheese sandwich, there was no food in the house. The fridge was empty.
You need to get married. Like, now!
No, I need a new balloon for my antenna.
Oh, that story of your empty fridge reminds me of the old pre-revolutionary cookbook by Yelena Molokhovets. It carried some wonderful advice. If you have unexpected visitors and have nothing in your larder, go to the cellar, take a leg of ham...
What if I don't have a cellar or ham?
Then, all you need is some soft cheese, any kind, cottage cheese, goat cheese, anything soft, any green herbs, coriander, dill, parsley, celery, a chili pepper, and one piece of garlic. Cut all the ingredients finely, mix with the cheese, and blend them to make them homogeneous. That's all. And you have a great dip that you can serve with anything. Boiled potatoes, bread, toast, pasta, rice, celery. Believe me, your guests will love it. And it takes just 10 minutes to make. Enjoy! This is from Moscow with love from the Voice of Russia. In case you just tuned in on shortwave, let me remind you that this program is broadcast via WRMI, Okeechobee, Florida, the United States. It's on the air every Monday night in the Americas at 03:30 UTC. That's UTC Tuesdays on 9955 kilohertz. Reception reports are more than welcome.
And here's just one. It's from Richard Lamke. I hope I got your name right, in Alberta, Canada. Hi there, Richard. You heard us on August 12th, and reception was 55443, which is pretty good.
Thank you, Richard. Hope you tune in again on shortwave. 73s to you.
Said like a true professional.
You bet.
Don't forget to visit our Facebook fan site and stay in touch.
We're at facebook.com/from Moscow with love.
And like us, if you like us.
Just like Rodolfo Fernando Palma Garcia, Femo Tenno, Zai Zai, and Anjan Karki did. Thank you very much.
Stephen Cooper commented on the video I posted about Bunker 42, the underground museum, which I visited recently. Very interesting site. I went in June.
Wow.
Did you spot the radio in the communications room where no photos were allowed, tuned to 4625 kilohertz, the buzzer? Ah,
The Buzzer, my favorite Russian radio station, broadcasting to the world.
Wow, that sounds scary.
It is scary. You know what's scary?
What?
We're out of time.
Again.
Again.
Oh, no.
All right, folks.
What can we say?
Thanks
see you next
for listening.
Week.
See ya. All the best. Take care. And...
До свидания.
Yeah, bye.